Good morning, Ebenezer family and friends. I tell you, it has been a whirlwind of a week already. But aren't you glad that God is still in charge? If you are happy about that, can you just give God some praise, lift up those hands, clap those hands, put some emoticons, some hallelujahs, just thanking the Lord for He being God and God alone. I want to thank you for your immense prayers, and I want you to really, really lean into the Lord as we just think about how He is orchestrating things in our lives, how He is a deliverer, how He is so faithful. Here at ebcnc.com, we've tried to do so many things to encourage us as we go through our week. I tell you, the enemy, he steps up his attacks so often, and so we have many Bible studies that we put forth because we are living epistles. We're examples of the Lord, and our testimony needs to be strengthened in God. On Mondays, we have Monday manna at 7 o'clock, and Tuesday, noonday Bible study. Wednesday at 7 o'clock on our virtual connection, we have Bible study also, so that we can be encouraged during the week. We also have an in-person Bible study on Thursdays at 6 to 7, right in the sanctuary, where we're going through the book of 1 Corinthians, and we're applying those teachings to our lives and going, God, thank you for seeing our needs from many, many years ago. You knew exactly what we needed in this time of our lives. Please continue to pray for our 8:45, our 10 o'clock online, our 10:45 in-person service. The Lord is doing so many wonderful things. I want to thank you for your giving. God loves a cheerful giver. When I think about us being able to give as we purpose in our heart, as the scriptures let us know, it just blesses me because God cares. He's our provider, right? He has done so many amazing things. He also says that He will make sure that we have all sufficiency in all things to be prepared for every good work. That's the God that we serve. So thank you, thank you. Whether you're giving during our using our app, or you're sending in our secure mailbox, or you're in our in-person service, we say thank you, thank you, thank you. Finally, last week the Lord put on my heart that it is time for a corporate time of prayer and fasting, corporate time of prayer and fasting. And we're going to do that today. Today, right in the sanctuary at 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock, that grace time, we will be there. And we welcome you to be there. It will not be live streamed, but we're going to do that in person as we just pour out our hearts to the Lord. If you can't be there, please be praying during that time. I've asked the whole entire church family to fast the entire day, to give up food. I realize that some of you have medical conditions, and please, please, you have to listen to your doctor and be led of the spirit. But those who can, we are asking to fast throughout the day as we are in prayer at 5 o'clock, right in the sanctuary of Ebenezer. And we're just going to call on the Lord. The scriptures are clear. It says, the prayers of the righteous availeth much. And we believe God needs us to pray in times like these. Well, I'm ready. I am ready to get in the word today. It is a word God placed strong on my heart. I know it's going to bless you. Let's prepare our hearts to receive God's message for us. See you soon.
Good morning. Our scripture this morning will come from Romans, the 12th chapter. I will be reading verses 1 through 8. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, I offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve that God's will is his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Thank you.
Just like Jesus.
I want to
It is so good to know that we could be more and more like Jesus. Thank God for his grace and his mercy and the gift of the Holy Spirit that he dwells on the inside of us, transforming us every day. Well, I am just blessed to be able to go through God's word with you. And I want to ask you, please don't stop praying. I realize that God's word being presented in a very clear fashion is so needed in these days and times where the enemy is stepping up his attack. It is my desire, and I pray that your desire be that for too, for more souls to be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth of the Lord, and that there be enlightenment, that the light come on, you know, that people truly know who Jesus is. So before I go any further, I ask you to please go in a word of prayer with me. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this day that you have made. I thank you for technology and this opportunity to go through the scriptures with your saints and even those who may not know you. And I pray for an enlightenment today. I pray that the light will come on, that souls will be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth of you, that someone today will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Let them know us by grace through faith and not of themselves. It is a gift from you. Oh, that they receive that gift. Now, Holy Spirit, you're our teacher. You're our guide. Would you lead us into all truth? Would you make this word today so strong and so understandable that even a small child can be transformed to be like you? Lord, we thank you and welcome your anointing in this place today. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You can just put amen in the chat. All the people of God said amen. We have been progressing as we have been in this kind of overall theme of back to the basics. It's been a delight. Remember, these particular topics that were given to me were given to us by to me by the young people of Ebenezer and also on the outside, just some things that they wanted to learn about. And it's been a great privilege to hear the voice of the Lord and to be able to walk through these things. Our memory scripture, and I pray that you're getting it. Isn't it amazing? The more we say this, we get it into our minds, it seeps down to our spirits. I want you to have this for the rest of your life. I take that back to eternity, that we got this in us, that we have this scripture in our hearts. So let's go to James 1:26 and 1:27 and ask you, if you don't mind, to read this aloud with me as we take it into our very presence, our spirit. Let's read. If anyone amongst you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. When we apply that to our lives, I am telling you, we are right in line with God's will. Well, today, with that theme of back to the basics, the young people, they asked me to present some Bible stories. Yes, they had particular people that they wanted to hear about. And it was my delight. I was like, I never thought about that. You know, being raised up into the church and hearing so many stories over and over, my dad being a pastor, my granddaddy being a pastor. Sometimes you can take those stories for granted. They're truth, but they're delightful and also challenging as we dig into them. Some of the people they gave me were people like Noah, Jacob, Joseph, Deborah, Samson, and Elijah. So what we're going to strive to do is we're in this theme of back to the basics. We're going to go through. I cannot. I'd be here for years and years and years if I taught every particular scripture on all of these. So as I'm led of the Lord, I'm just going to pull out some sections as we work our way through these particular individuals and kind of strive to concise their lives, to summarize and to apply where we are today. So today, it's my delight. The Lord has allowed us to go and look at Noah. Yes, I know many of you have seen movies. You may be shocked today as we dig into and see what the scriptures actually say about. But today we're going to pick up Noah. So let's go to the book of Genesis, chapter 6. And I want us to look at around that 8th verse, Genesis 6 and 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, a beautiful picture It's just a wonderful, wonderful picture of that Genesis 6 and 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I want to speak from a title today, Finding Grace. Yes, Finding Grace. Let's walk up to this point because so much has happened in the history of the scriptures, the Bible, and the book of Genesis to get us to this sixth chapter where we're introduced to Noah, this man of God. So within the Garden of Eden, remember that beautiful place that everything is in order. God is just loving on Adam and Eve. They're walking and having a wonderful time. And then the enemy, that slew foot, old saints used to say, serpent slides in and he begins to speak things into Eve's mind and heart. And eventually, Adam, he came to and he submitted to the words that the enemy, and from there, sin was invited in the garden. They went against the mandates of God. From there, they are excommunicated. They are kicked out of the garden. They have a family that's growing in the family relationship because of sin. Cain actually murders his brother Abel. We can see the downfall already. From there, the genealogical line continues. More sin grows, more murders occur. And from Genesis chapter 1, 2, 3 to Genesis chapter 6, the world has gone crazy. I hope you're with me. It took from Genesis chapter 1, the creation, to Genesis chapter 6, where God is like, wow, the world where I created it and what I created it for has been changed because of the enemy and the demonic powers that are within the land. Now, the time frame is approximately 2500 BC. Noah, hear me here, is approximately 500 years old. 500 years old. I know you're like, wow, I can actually understand this. We have a member of Ebenezer that's 104 years old, 104. And so, in that day from Genesis chapter 1, getting to chapter 6, because of sin, the lifespan was diminished. Remember Methuselah, thousands of years now, or 999, now coming down to he's 500 years old. So he's like kind of in his midlife because he's actually going to pass away at 950 years old. Okay, so 500, he's midlife. He is still has his best days in front of him, and God chooses to use him. At this time, I'll talk about finding grace. Let's go ahead and jump into the sixth chapter as we pick up and see the platform that God is using for Noah here. Genesis 6:5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, finding grace. When God looked at his creation, he was like, wow. Their hearts, what they're thinking, is literally evil, and they're producing this evil, and this began to grow at an exponential rate. Notice that sixth verse, and the Lord was sorry. Can you put in the chat sorry? Can you just say sorry? That word, I just kind of hits me. That God literally looks at his creation and he's sorry. Notice that he had made man on the earth and he was grieved in his heart. Here's the point I want you to get out of this inside out. Inside out. Just a little tidbit as I was going through the scriptures that we're dealing with today, there are 5 points. And I thought that was interesting as we were looking at finding grace, simply because that five is a general numerology term for grace. So we're going to have 5 points. That first one is inside out. Romans 8:22 really kind of transitions us into this thought. It says, "For we know that the whole world or creation groans and labors with birth pangs until now." Even from that, the Noah, the flood, the judgment, to this point, the world is still troubled. Because the world, God's creation knows this is not the way it's supposed to be. And we can sense this, right? This struggle again, this Romans 8:22, for we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. This happens when the evilness, man was conceived in iniquity now. The fall has taken place. And so now that evil that's on the inside is really being pushed out. I think all of us, if you've been living just a little bit, you can see a change in our environment, our society. A lot of things people thought, you know, maybe considered doing, but not just doing it. But now it seems those thoughts of the enemy that have matriculated in the hearts, people are acting these things out. And they don't care how it hurts other people. It has become all about them finding grace, that they are allowing that which should have stayed on the inside and taken to the Lord, because he's the only one that can save and deliver us and transform our hearts, to show on the outside. God spoke to Cain. Remember this in Genesis 4:6. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. God acknowledges in that fourth chapter, even as sin is growing, to Cain, you got a choice. You don't have to allow that evil that's on the inside to come out. Of course, we know that Cain chose the evil route of violence, bringing more of that into the earth. Look at Genesis 6:7, finding grace. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am, there it is again, sorry that I have made them. Look at this, Genesis 6:8. But Noah, can you put in the chat, but Noah, I just want to give you a but Noah, wherever you're standing or sitting, say, but Noah, finding grace. In times of struggle, I hope you're with me, because this is, I believe, a prophetic word. In times of struggle, when the enemy is doing his best to tear things apart, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we can dare ask or think, finding grace. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Here's the point. When men hurt God. Yes, when men hurt God. I know that point. You're like, can we hurt God? Obviously, he was sorry. It grieved him because he had made man, and that was not the purpose of man. The enemy had come in, and the enemy said, you know what? I'm going to change that purpose. I'm going to mar it. It's kind of like, you know, little kids sometimes, they get toys. And when I grew up, it was dolls and Barbies. And sometimes you would have a little kid, they would take a magic marker and just all of a sudden just draw over that particular toy or that Barbie and make it in something else. It was marred. He's like, that was not the purpose. What are you doing? And this is the same thing that the enemy was striving to do to God's beautiful creation. Ephesians 4:30, New Testament, lets us know this same thought, even as we are here in our present context. It says, and do not grieve. You with me? Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. We can grieve God. This Old Testament, as we're dealing with Noah, he was grieved by his creation, but Noah, look at that, Genesis 6:8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, theologically, this is the first time, hear me, that we pick up this word called grace. Can you put in the chat, grace, wherever you're standing, sitting, can you say grace? This is the first time in the biblical text. Of course, we've made a lot of movement from Genesis chapter 1 to this Genesis chapter 6, but now finding grace, we have this word called grace. A grace in the Hebrew means something very important, at least right here, this first time. It means to bend or to stoop. So the picture is a superior God actually bending and stooping down to assist and help. As I was just been studying, just mind pictures started to come into my heart, and it's the picture of a daddy or a mom bending down to a crying baby. You know the baby screaming at the top lung, and the parents have already, they have made sure the diaper was changed, they had made sure that the baby was fed, but the baby was just irritated. It was just a mad day for the baby, but the parents still lean over, they stoop down, and they reach and get that baby, and they bring up the baby to their heart and comforting them. That's the picture of God's grace. There ought to be some shouts in the house for God's grace, because there's been so many times in our lives that we were screaming. We were doing all we could do to go against God's will. But aren't you glad for a good, good father that will reach down and put his arms around us and bring us close to comfort us? Let's not forget Ephesians 2:8. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not that of yourselves." It says it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast, finding grace. Here is Noah. He finds grace. We're going to find out here what's going on. Genesis 6:9. Hear me. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. Here's next point: walking with God. Walking with God. So as we find out, in a time of darkness, heaviness, violence, there's still going to be a remnant. There's still going to be a people that choose to walk with God. Yes, that are going to lean in closer to the Lord. And hear me, hear me. I believe this is a word for all of us today. God is desiring for more people to lean into him, to walk with him. Austin Miles really gets that thought in 1912 when he writes this: "I come to the garden alone while the dew was still on the roses. The voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. He speaks and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing. And the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. I'd stay in the garden with him though the night around me be falling, but he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I'm his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known." That's what God wants, finding grace. He wants the people to draw close to him. I was talking to someone about prayer, and I said prayer is really just communicating to God. I said, as you're talking to other people and you spend a lot of times, you want to make sure that they understand you. I said, you take that same thought into prayer, and that time that you spent with an individual or a group of people, you need to be spending that with God, where you're talking to him. And you could say, "God, do you understand me? Do you realize where I'm coming? Does that make sense?" That's what that communion and fellowship. And I know Noah, in his season and time, he had to go. I can see him literally walking in the presence of the Lord and saying, "God, do you understand? Do you see what's going on? You see the struggles that I'm dealing with my family, but I love you with my whole heart, finding grace." Look at Genesis 6:9 out of the New Living Translation. It says, "This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man." Righteous means that which is right standing with God, the only blameless person living on the earth at the time, and he walked in close fellowship with God. Can you put close in the chat? Wherever you stand, it says, say close, close. He did. He drew near. So in times of stress, we've got to grow closer to the Lord. I believe the church of God is challenged because many people are drawing away from God because there's so many distractions out there. I mean, we've got so many streaming platforms. We've got so many things to take our attention away from the God. It's all a plan of the enemy. But in these dark, confusing times, we get closer to the Lord. We pray more. We read his scripture more. We worship more. We praise more. We love on God more, simply because he's the only one that can give us clear direction. I'm talking about finding grace. Pastor John MacArthur gave us a wonderful quote, really summarizing this section. He says, "The order is one of increasing spiritual quality before God. Righteous is to live by God's righteous standards. Blameless sets him apart by comparison with those of his day, and that he walked with God puts him in a class with Enoch. You remember Enoch, Genesis 5 and 24, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Here's a question that I want you to get in your mind. How is your walk with the Lord? Yes. How is your walk with the Lord? Can you repeat after me? Because I want it to be personal. Can you say, how is my walk with the Lord? How is my walk with the Lord? Man, when you start thinking about that, you're like, man, how much am I talking with him? How much am I actually walking with the Lord individually? We're not talking about being around people just that are walking with the Lord, but are you walking with the Lord? Your relationship, are you talking with him? Are you reading him? Are you worshiping him? Is there a connection? Do you have a testimony? This is Noah. His fellowship with God is sweet, and it continues to get closer. Look at Genesis 6:10, finding grace. And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, I do want to interject within this. This 500-year journey, he's still having children, him and his wife, and these children, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. I want to let you know, just because you're a righteous person, you're a righteous man, you're a righteous woman, does not say that your kids are going to be righteous. You can set a wonderful example before them. I believe in the scripture, if we raise up a child and the way they should go, in the end, they will not depart. But please, I know there's some mamas, some daddies out there, some grandmas, some aunties, you've done the best you can to be an example, and it seems like your kid is going the opposite direction. I want you to know, you continue to find grace in God's eyesight. Continue to pray. His family, I'm telling you, they had their struggles, but God's grace and mercy is so good. That 11th verse, the earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh, and had corrupted their way on the earth. Here's the point, really bad, really bad, really bad. Just recently, there was a company, Crowdsource, it's a public news. They put out an update, and that update was corrupted. It was messed up. The code was messed up in it. Consequently, when it was put on Windows computers, it jacked up. It locked up some computers. It caused so many problems that billions of dollars was lost by airlines and other companies because they could not operate their technologically advanced system because of corruption. I hope you're hearing from me. It was really bad. It was really bad. Some of you were flying. You couldn't get to the place. People had to pull out paper again, and they forgot how to write. It was just really, really bad because of corruption. This is what God is looking at from his vantage point at his creation. And he's like, okay, Noah's finding grace, but I'm looking at the corruption has taken place in our political realm, our society, not just here in the United States. Have you heard that word, corruption? Corruption. It seems like good people are going bad. There are things that have been pulled out of the closet. Corruption, corruption, really bad. James gives us a picture of what sin does as it grows inside. If you don't give it to the Lord, I'm telling you, this is what happens. James 1:14, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. All of us have desires. Some things that we want. Many of those things can be contrary to God's will. They're there. We're living in a society that will interject to us desires. It says desires and entice. Then when desires have conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Find the grace. Do you see it in our society, this growth? This is what was happening in Noah's time, corruption after corruption, and God is looking on this. The earth had actually been become filled with violence. Can you put in the chat violence and put an exclamation mark after that? Wherever you're standing, sit and say violence, violence. It was a terrible, terrible, terrible time. And so I thought about this. I was like, okay, God, this is Genesis chapter 6. You know, this is really early in that whole history of the earth and what you created. I said, where are we at right now? I was like, what is the worst cities in the United States of America? What is scientifically? So I went and I did some research. Did you know Detroit, Michigan is known as one of the violent cities in actually United States of America? I'm thinking about North Carolina, the violence here, but in Detroit, Michigan, I've been there. I've been through that area, and I'm like, my goodness. And then a second was Memphis, Tennessee. Now don't get mad at me if you're from these areas. The numbers can change. I'm just talking about the numbers that were put out. Memphis, I've been there. I've been there. I mean, one of the violent cities within the United States of America. And then another one was Birmingham, Alabama. I've been there. I've been there. And you think about all the civil rights acts and the things that have taken place, that violence is still in the United States of America, in these very wonderful places, in a sense that God has used in the past. Now there is so much destruction that's going on. So I said, okay, so those are the cities, at least now in my research time, that are violent. I said, what about the countries? And I know you think about Afghanistan. Yes, we know violence, war, it's been going on a long time. But did you know, and I know my brothers and my sisters from this country, don't get mad at me. These are numbers you can look up. Jamaica, one of the most violent. Let me explain the numbers they did. They said 53.3 of people will be killed violently out of 1,000. So literally, if you put 1,000 folks into a room, 53.3 of them will be violently killed in Jamaica. Now, I know you're like, it's not happening in my parish, Pastor. I am not. I'm just talking about the numbers. Violence is all over the world. I've been to a majority of those places, and they're beautiful. I haven't had any problems or situations, but I want you to know that violence is on the rise, even as it was in Genesis chapter 6 and what God had to look down. But just imagine, we're coming to the point that every place that you look at is violent. Every place that you go to is violent. This is Noah's time. This is the destruction and the corruption that was occurring. Look at Genesis 6:12. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt. Can you put in the chat, corrupt, wherever you stand, it says, say corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth, finding grace. Let me sum this up for you. Let's go to Genesis 6:13. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. God's like, you know, I can't take it no more. We got to reboot this thing. We got to, in essence, kind of start over. He says, has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood, make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and outside with pitch. Final point, judgment and mercy. Yes, judgment and mercy. So because of what God has ordained in God's law, the scriptures are clear that when sin grows, death occurs. It's just a biblical context. This is what's going to happen. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord, judgment and mercy. Peter actually speaks of this judgment that God has said, I'm going to bring forth. This is just, it's going to happen. It has to happen because the violence has come to a level that it's just no one is growing. Noah, literally, you're the only one. This is so important. You're the only one that is found grace in my eyesight. 2 Peter 2:4, for if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness. Yes, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on a world of the ungodly. I believe during that period of time that he preached, he proclaimed a testimony testimony, his life, as God told him to build this ark. God showed so much mercy through Noah by building this ark. Do you realize it was 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high with three decks? God was saying, you know what? There is a way, if you trust me, of coming out of the violence. I am going to cover you. Well, as we conclude Noah today, I'm telling you, you can study ahead and you can look at all the dimensions of that ark. Theologians hold that it took Noah about 55 to 75 years. You remember he was 500 years old. Took him 55 to 75 years just to build the ark. I believe as he's building that ark, it is a testimony that God is going to bring judgment. And so many people had an opportunity to change their minds and turn to the thought pattern of walking with God. Even as we're in our day and time, there's so much that's going on, but there's still people that are standing strong and saying Jesus still saves. What a testimony of the mercies of God to actually intervene in a violent time to show his kindness and love, and he's still doing that right now. But I want you to know that judgment is going to come upon the land. Yes, that boat is going to be lifted up. That ark is going to have to float for many days, and all flesh that was not on the ark, it's going to be killed. It's going to be obliterated. But realize Noah and his family, they will survive the flood, but yet later there would be a tragic incident that after the flood is gone and they come off the boat, that blameless man Noah is going to be found intoxicated, and his life is going to be messed up. But I'm talking about finding grace here. But it pleases me today to let you know there's a better man than Noah. There ought to be some shouts of praise. Yeah, you know his name is Jesus. Can you put into the chat Jesus? God indeed had to build another ship. It had to be an eternal ship. Yeah, please hear me today. Noah and his family would eventually pass away. The ark that was built would eventually rot away. But I'm so glad that Jesus came from heaven to earth to save mankind. He was the blameless one. He was the one that walked the streets of Galilee, healing the sick and raising the dead. I'm so glad that the ship that he was building would not rot. I'm so glad that God saw a better way to send 100% God man and 100% of mankind yet without sin. There ought to be some shouts of praise. I'm talking about finding grace. See, Noah built the ark, and God told him to put a door on that ark. And please understand, Noah couldn't even close the door on the ark. Genesis 7:16. So those that entered, male and female of all the flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. But Jesus said in John 10:9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. I'm telling you, that's good news today. Do you know that Noah was put on that ark with all the animals and his family, and the ark floated, but the man from Galilee could actually walk on water? Do you realize that Noah and his family had to go through the storm? But the man from Galilee, Jesus, was able to speak to the storm and say, peace be still. But I'm so glad that he didn't stop right there. There ought to be some, I'll say, finding grace. I'm so glad for the grace and mercy, because that same Jesus cried out in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but let thy will be done. Goes to the cross of Calvary. Hear me today. Nails in his hands and nails in his feet. I'm not sure if the cross was made out of gopher wood, but he was nailed to the cross there for you and me. There he dies on the cross and he gives up the ghost. But 3 days later, he gets up with all power and all glory for you and me. Finding grace that we could come through him. He is that door. What Noah couldn't do, Jesus did. I'm telling you, that is good news. If you don't know Christ today, I invite you to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. It says you will be saved. We said this scripture earlier. It's by grace through faith, not of yourself. It is a gift from God, finding grace. These are some tough times. And saints, I don't want to be a prophet of doom, but I want you to know it's going to get worse. There are going to be some bright days. There are going to be some celebrations. But when we look at the world, darkness is ascending upon us. Men and women, boys and girls are going to fall out more. We're going to find out divisiveness is going to be the summary of lives, simply because the enemy's job is to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. Would you get on his ship, that good old gospel ship, and accept Christ as your Lord and Savior? And please, this ship, it goes into eternity. Oh, to a place where there's going to be no more crying, no more heartache, no more violence. All because Jesus, he is our everything. Would you ask him into your heart today? To the saints, we've got to step up. We have to walk with the Lord closer than we've ever been before. As Noah in his day, he was found as blameless, as righteous. Genesis 6:8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Let's step up into that wonderful grace and be testaments of his goodness. Let us pray. Father, thank you for this word today. Thank you for the life of Noah, for using him. But I thank you even more for your son, Jesus, Lord. Thank you that we can run to him for safety in times like these. Lord, I pray that more souls are being saved right now, brought to the knowledge of the truth of you. Lord, thank you for the saints, that they're being strengthened. We're being strengthened, Lord, to find grace even in these tough times. We give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Have you taken the time to count your blessings? He's been good. Yes, he's been good. Have you looked around to see what God has done? He's been good, and I love him. He's been good. Have you ever had a problem you thought would knock you down? He's been good. Yes, he's been good. But before you could fall, he reached out and picked you up. He's been good. And I love him. He's been good. Before